Welcome to Search Talk Live, the search engine optimization and marketing expert, Robert O'Haver, powered by the Robert Palmer family of companies.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Search Talk Live. I'm your host, Robert O'Haver, along with Matt Weber of Roar Media or
Roar Internet Marketing.
Roar Internet Marketing. Yeah. It's media.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Today is going to be a great show. We've got a lot to talk about. Our guest is amazing.
That's all I can say. Covered it all.
Yeah. Those of you listening to the show for the first time, Search Talk Live is a digital marketing podcast. We cover everything. We talk content marketing, SEO, social media. I mean, you name it, really. We cover it. I mean, did you think of anything we haven't covered?
Not at all. By the way, did you happen to catch any of the live stream from Google today about the new product announcements?
No, I didn't.
That's a lot of stuff that we're going to have to cover in the future because some big news coming out of Google.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. Let's get on with the show. Our guest today is a three-time author, national, well, I'd say international speaker, has spoken at many conferences, won all kinds of probably awards here. He is the author of Google Power Search. He is co-author of Social E-Commerce and, I would say, the Bible of SEO, The Art of SEO, Stefan Spencer. Stefan, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great.
Good.
That was a nice intro.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
I am international. Yes, I am.
We're excited to have you.
Stopped in Prague one time. Huh? No, I'm just kidding. That's
great. I do impromptu presentations at airports. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So, no, actually, I will be speaking at Brighton SEO in September. So, yes, that is international. I do a fair amount of international speaking.
Nice. So, people that haven't heard of you. I mean, obviously, you're an author. I mentioned all that stuff, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I was studying for a PhD in biochemistry, and I decided to hop on the internet gravy train, and this was in 1994. I met some of the guys from Netscape back then, if you can believe it. And I'm like, wow, I gotta ride this train. So I dropped out of my PhD and started an agency. Uh-oh. And ran it for 15 years and sold it in 2010 to Cavario. So I had a successful exit, and then they got acquired in 2014, so I made some money both times. So that was cool. And 2009 was when The Art of SEO came out in its first edition. It all started when Rand Fishkin and I were chatting in the speaker room at SCS Toronto, mm-hmm. and we're like, we should do a book together. And he's like, yep, we should. And within 2 days, we had a book deal with O'Reilly.
Wow, 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, Danny Sullivan happened to be at the Foo Camp conference, Friends of O'Reilly conference. So he's right there with all the important people at O'Reilly to ask them on our behalf if they'd want to be our publisher. And they said yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. And today's show is about helping people become an authority. Not quite like you, but close to you.
Yes. Close friends with me, yes.
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to share with our listeners kind of a side project I'm working on. Something I thought was, to me, I find hilarity in everything. And a lot of our listeners were asking if we get Elon Musk on. And everybody was kind of like, yeah, right.
You know, love it. Like, good challenge.
Yeah. So I put a challenge on myself. I reached out to friends of friends and all that good stuff and really never got a response. And I was kind of down at that point. But then I started thinking kind of out of the box. And I wanted to share this with you guys because I'm putting this plan together right now, building the strategy, all the content and everything for this. And what I'm doing is, I found a way, and I've been playing around in Facebook targeting, and I found a way to target. I'm down to like 10 people. One of them's got to be Elon Musk, based off knowing where he lives, his age, and all this other stuff that, you know, just kind of correlate together to really narrow down the focus.
Right.
Because you obviously can't target people on God, could you imagine?
Yeah, yet.
But what I'm doing is I'm going to put a post on Facebook with a message, you know, titled kind of Message to Elon Musk. And I'd like you guys to weigh in on this real quick, but I don't want to take too much time, but I'm going to build a landing page with these ads I'm going to be promoting to him on Facebook and then bringing him back to a landing page on searchtalklive.com. Then I'm going to hit him with a cookie. And then I'm going to send different messages to him, but I'm trying to figure out what those messages are. I haven't got to that point yet. Just kind of playing around with different things. And then hopefully get the message to him. We would like to have him on the show.
Well, it'd be a big coup for sure. And the plan's got some interesting elements to it, but it looks like we might need a hook.
Yeah. What do you think?
Exactly.
Stephanie?
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right. First off, let me just clarify something that you said a minute ago, mm-hmm. that Facebook doesn't allow you to target individual people. Actually, you can target individual people.
You can.
So you like I could take my customer list, all my email addresses of my customers, my clients, mm-hmm. and upload that to Facebook and create a custom audience.
Yes, you can do
and
that.
Target individuals who have bought from me in the past.
Correct.
So why couldn't you create a custom audience of Elon Musk and all of his colleagues and direct reports, et cetera? Of course you could.
Yeah, that is right? True. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to narrow it down more than that, though, because he's got several hundred employees.
Yeah, but you could. You could go after his executive team.
True.
As long as you have email addresses or phone numbers, you can build a custom audience from that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So that's one thing. And you're exactly correct that you need a hook. You need something that is going to get his attention, interest, desire, and then action, right? AIDA. Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend is something that is counterintuitive or surprising. There's some cognitive dissonance in it, and it makes him do a double take, like, what? What is that? And it doesn't even have to be like creepy, as in, hey, Elon, we're watching you or whatever. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't
that's
do that.
A little over the top. Instead, do something like, okay, let's just say that it were around the end of the year mm-hmm. that you're doing this. So New Year's Day is coming up, and New Year's resolutions, you know, you're going to essentially newsjack on the topic of the day, which would be New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. So then you say, 3 New Year's resolutions that Elon Musk would never make.
I got you. Huh? I see what you're saying.
It's counterintuitive. There's some cognitive dissonance. Whoever thinks about New Year's resolutions that they would never make or that they should never make. Mm-hmm. It's always about making these New Year's resolutions and then you screw up and you don't follow through on them or they fizzle out a weekend. So being counterintuitive in that way and tying into something that is trending, I think has potential. And if you can get, I'd say get some people behind it, which means that you're going to hopefully get this thing to go viral.
Yeah.
And then you're not just individually targeting him with Facebook ad.
Right. Well, the last piece of that was going to like Haro and pitching them the story that I'm doing, you know, how I'm getting Elon his attention. I think it's a unique
story. The hunt
story.
For yeah. Elon Musk.
The great white whale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Haro, help a reporter out, is a great resource both for journalists and for people looking for PR opportunities. But the thing is again, we need to have a hook mm-hmm. and we need a larger strategy. So if we go after Elon beforehand with Haro as an engine to help create that opportunity for us. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do some sort of article. Let's say you write for entrepreneur.com and your pitch as a journalist in Haro is I'm looking for experts in public relations and marketing to weigh in with their best ideas on how you would target and get attention, interest, and desire, or, you know, get some action from Elon Musk, because we want to interview him directly. How would you get an how would you score an interview with Elon Musk? And the article could be titled something like 101 Ways to Score an Interview with Elon Musk. And let's say that that article, you get some great tips and ideas from the contributors, from these different PR experts and so forth. Your article is killer and it goes viral. You help seed it with some power users. So you call in some favors with some influencers, power users on social sites like Reddit and Facebook, and get some traction, gets the attention of Elon Musk.
I like that.
And he's like, okay, you baited me, but I'm gonna give you guys an interview.
Yeah, it's great buzz creating element to it too when the other experts have to contribute.
Sure.
Now let's say that it doesn't get you that desired end result of it gets you some publicity and some links and so forth. You get some SEO benefit, but you don't get that phone call or that email from Elon.
Right.
You can then take that and spin off into other things. You've gotten some traction. Let's recycle this. Let's repackage, repurpose. Maybe we create a man on the street viral video. We interview people like, how would you get the attention of Elon Musk to score an interview with him? And you interview enough people, man on the street style, you know, Times Square in front of Spago's, and et cetera, et cetera. You'll get some really great, funny, awesome responses back, and you compile that into a viral video. And you just take this idea and you keep running with the repackaging. If it has traction, you keep doing it until you get his attention. And then you can also use that to retarget people inside of Tesla who are upper level executives, et cetera, people who are one step away from Elon.
Right. I love it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So it's all in the strategy. In the Art of War, Sun Tzu said, tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat. So you're talking about a lot of tactical stuff, which is great and useful. Let's use Facebook ads as a way, as a vehicle to get to him, but without the strategy, and that and the key component of that strategy is the hook. It's just not going to, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
I brought it up on the right show.
Great opportunity to refine a good idea.
So let's get down to it. Those of you listening, you can ask questions or give your ideas for topics using hashtag SearchTalkLive. And we'll give those questions to Stefan as we're going through our little talk here.
And if you have Elon Musk's phone number, tweet that too.
Yes, absolutely.
And you'll end up making an enemy of Elon.
Right,
so,
right.
Let me just do a little spin-off idea on this Elon Musk thing that I think will help you and your listeners get more leverage. Because if you want to build authority and authority positioning, it's great to get an score an interview with Elon Musk. That's awesome, but it doesn't make you an authority. It just makes you a great interviewer.
Right.
So how would you spin that into you becoming an authority with that Elon Musk opportunity? Well, let me give you an idea or two, and then you can chime in with some additional ones yourself.
Okay.
Let's say that you get Elon to ask you some questions about SEO and online marketing and so forth.
Okay.
Right? Now you turn that into a separate small episode that's you're basically getting an interview. You are getting interviewed by Elon Musk. Elon Musk interviewing Robert O'Haver on SEO and Google. Like, what? Like, that authority building's like...
Times 10.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So I interviewed Jay Abraham, like a marketing great, like one of the greats, for my show Marketing Speak, which is a great podcast, by the way. Everybody should subscribe. So not only you know, was that a big coup at the beginning in like episode 9, I think it was, or somewhere early on, to get a huge name like that made it so much easier to get all these other big names. I've gotten like Dan Kennedy to be a guest, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I got Jay to interview me about SEO.
Wow.
He originally used that for a presentation or a workshop he was doing in Japan, and it was a video, and he showed that from stage, me talking about SEO and him interviewing me about it. And then I asked him, can I use that for my own episode and, you know, for my own show and so forth? And he's like, yeah, use it for whatever you want. Score!
Oh, yeah, right.
Jay Abraham interviewing me about SEO. I mean, just amazing. So, of course, that's a featured episode on the homepage and everything. So, yeah, look for an opportunity like that. Imagine somebody of Elon Musk's caliber or, I don't know, Brian Tracy, somebody like that interviewing you on the topic that you're most known for.
Yeah.
Good spin.
Absolutely. Yeah. So instead of asking for an interview, I'll just have them, hey, come interview me. No, just kidding.
Can you interview me? Yeah. A little bit of a stretch, but who knows? Like,
that was a joke. Let's get on with the topic. we're talking about today is becoming an authority, and then it's also being a fast track to link building, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go into that.
Yeah. Tell us about what are your ground points for establishing authority. Where are the places that you go first for someone to build an expertise, to build authority on the internet? What are the places that are most valuable?
Yeah, so the way that you're going to have the most impact, I think, is either to have a book or to be on TV. That okay. establishes not only authority, but also a lot of times celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crucial distinction. If you are a celebrity, you've got name recognition, you get invited to exclusive events. You know, think of you kind of like on the red carpet sort of situation, right? So that's being a celebrity. That's way better than just being an authority. You can be both. You can be a celebrity and an authority. There are celebrities who are not authorities on anything. They're just famous at being famous. And then there are people who are both authorities and celebrities. Mm-hmm. Aim for that. And one of the best ways to do it is to get on TV. And so you got to work your way up. You start with smaller, like local network news programs. For example, small markets, Tucson, Arizona, Reno, Nevada, you know, Madison, Wisconsin. So you start smaller and you work your way up mm-hmm. because if you want to get on Good Morning America or the Today Show, you can't just show up and say, hey, like, what's your experience? Have you been on TV before? No, but I've practiced. I'm going to be great.
I look in the mirror.
You need it. Trust me.
Yeah. Not going to work. So you got to work your way up, and then you got that portfolio. You have your media page. What's the first thing that a TV producer is going to do when they're gauging whether you're any good? They're going to go to your website. They're going to look for your media page. And if they can't find any TV appearances that you've done before, game over.
Right.
And for folks that stay in the digital domain, like Robert and I, book publishing has gotten a little simpler over the past decade or so, hasn't it? Can you help the listeners with how easier it's gotten to get your book published?
Well, you know, there's the easy way and there's the effective way. So let me just distinguish those two. The thing is, you can self-publish very easily. KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. You can even do a PDF and post it on DocsDoc and Scribd. But the thing is if you want to be effective, you want to be a bestseller. And I'm not just talking about an Amazon like weird category bestseller that like nobody's in. Go after the obscure topic and the obscure genre or subtopic within Amazon. Like, oh, there hasn't been a book published in there for a while. Let me make it a book about that topic, and then I'll be a category bestseller. Nobody cares that you are a basket weaving category bestseller on Amazon. So you got to put in the hard yards to get that real bestseller status. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about being an author first off. And there are all sorts of shortcuts and nuances that make a world of difference for you if you do this right. So let's say that you are self-publishing and you want to offer this book for free, because that's going to increase the reach.
Right.
So, and Amazon is, of course, a crucial platform for you. Did you know that you are not allowed to offer a book for free permanently on Amazon? You can do, like with KDP, you can do sales, and like there's certain opportunities that you'll get where you can offer it for free to drum up interest, but you cannot offer it permanently for free. Well, here's a workaround. It's called PermaFree. So you first submit it, well, you submit it to Amazon and you give it a price, right? But then you go to, let's say, Barnes & Noble. I think that Barnes & Noble allows you to list it for free. And then Amazon has a price matching guarantee. So you have somebody submit a price notice that, hey, over here at Barnes & Noble, it's free and you're charging $2.99 for it. You know, you're supposed to match that price, and they'll match it permanently.
Wow.
Now you got a free book on Amazon, a free Kindle book.
That's a great secret.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So there are lots of little nuances. But honestly, I would say do not do self-publishing for your first book. Get a traditional publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And all the difference. Now you could, if it's not that great of a book and you don't have the connections and so forth, it's really hard to get in front of, get the attention of the acquisitions editor, even if you're doing Facebook ads to them. then you could do a hybrid model, like Morgan James Publishing allows you to do this hybrid model with them. And it's not quite the vanity publishing model or self-publishing, but it's also not your traditional publishing route. So they'll provide some other resources, things like the illustrator or designer for the book cover and editors and, you know, all sorts of good stuff that a traditional publisher would provide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less if you wanted – it costs you less if you want to buy a whole bunch of books and give them away at conferences. Like every conference I speak at, I'll be at Internet Retailer speaking in just a couple weeks, and I will bring a whole bunch of books to give away in my session and afterwards.
Wow.
Right? So it's pretty good value, right? It's a 1,000-page book. It's heavy. And I'm giving it on from stage. I get people running to the stage to get a copy of the book. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. So if you want to buy a bunch of those books from the publisher, then you're going to pay a lot, because typically the author discount is 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So traditional publishers, that's going to hurt to be giving away a bunch of copies for free, because they're not free for you.
Right.
So with the hybrid model, you can buy them for a few dollars each, and that's a lot better than, like, if I had to buy them. I have a special arrangement with O'Reilly, so that's cool. But otherwise, I'd be spending $25 a book to give away. Like, I don't know, I'm probably going to give away 50 books in 2 weeks at that conference.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. So, yeah, the hybrid model is pretty interesting. So that's Morgan James. And let's see. So traditional publishers, I love O'Reilly. They're just so cool. They're so fun to work with. If you're looking at a genre that's more kind of self-help-ish or something, then Hay House would be a good publisher. There are a lot of publishers, or of course the big guys who end up owning a lot of the imprints. The other brands you think are separate publishers, they're actually all HarperCollins.
Right, all under one roof, yeah.
So yeah, get a publisher, get a traditional publisher if possible for your first book. Then you can self-publish and make more profit and whatever, but that the authority positioning of having a traditional publisher is invaluable. It will change the course of your business. It will be transformational. It was for me when The Art of SEO came out in its first edition in 2009, that changed the game for me. It's so incredible. Like, imagine this huge business card that's a 1,000-page book. It gets noticed, that gets attention, and it opens doors. So that's the first thing, is become an author, and the second would be get on TV. And if you are an author, you can much easier get on TV because you've got a nice hook. Right? You're doing a book launch or a book tour, and you're coming to their local city. So it's timely, it's local. If you could even make it more timely and local, like I pitched in Phoenix, which is a top 20 market, I cold called the TV producer on the phone, and I asked to talk about what makes people geeks and how to optimize your inner geek. It was tied into Phoenix Comic-Con, which that was that weekend. And I was called on a Sunday. Phoenix Comic-Con was that weekend. And they're like, can you come on Saturday? I'm like, yes. Nice. So I got in, but I also had an emotional hook too. It made for good TV. It wasn't just timely and local, Phoenix Comic-Con that weekend, timely and local, but it was also a great kind of emotional hook. And that was, I'm going to transform your host into the ultimate geek live on TV. He or she is going to like completely nerd out. I'm going to bring geeky gadgets like a sleep tracker with a headband that you put on your forehead. Your host is going to look like a uber geek. And I'm going to bring my Iron Man costume that I wore at Comic-Con. And your host can put the helmet on and everything. And like, that was awesome.
She
that makes
sold
for
it.
Great TV.
Yeah.
So you try to get on TV and talk about SEO, and good luck. Nobody's going to have you on because that's boring. Just saying that out loud makes me want to go take it. So it's got to be good TV. It's got to be of interest to a wide audience.
And it can't be self-serving.
No, heck no. Right. So it was a very soft sell. In fact, there was no selling. I had 11 TV appearances last year. Most of them were about, are you a geek? Take the quiz. And I had this great quiz. And then I had this geek transformation thing with the host. I brought all the great props. It was awesome. But the hook that for me made it worthwhile wasn't just that, okay, I get to have a still image of me with a Fox News logo or something. I got to tie it into my other podcast show. So I have Marketing Speak. I also have The Optimized Geek. Mm. Perfect tie-in, right? So The Optimized Geek isn't actually about optimization of your website. It's about optimization of you as a person. So self-help, like personal development stuff, life hacking, biohacking. I've had Dave Asprey on from the Bulletproof Coffee and Bulletproof Diet. I've had Byron Katie on, who's like a huge self-help guru. It's an awesome podcast having nothing to do with SEO and really nothing about my online marketing business and the consulting that I do. But it would help me get more listeners for my show. And then when my self-help book comes out, then I'm going to have my 1,000 true fans ready to go, clamoring for my book, hitting the bookstores, being my street team, saying, hey, when's Stephen Spencer's book coming? Is it out yet? Do you have it, carrying it? And the managers of these bookstores are like, who the heck is this Stephen Spencer guy? And why are all these people bothering us about this book? Go buy some copies, right? So it works. Get your street team, your 1,000 true fans clamoring for whatever you're doing. And how do you get that? Well, you got to, of course, create massive value and so forth. And you got to have the hooks. And for me, I created an audience and I created authority positioning for that whole new area that nobody knows me for, of personal development, by getting on TV and having a podcast that, those two fed into each other.
Yeah, you positioned it very nicely. It's just a short step from your already established expertise.
I can see the slogan now. Not only can I optimize your website,
but I can optimize you.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. So you can listen to Tim Ferriss and you can listen to Dave Allen and Dave Asprey all on my show, The Optimized Geek. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
So we've got TV, we've got a book, and then another way to establish authority.
Oh, there's so many ways. Oh my God.
Robert, you're an expert here.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk podcasts.
Yes. Let's talk podcasts.
So how does that help with, I can probably tell you that, but yeah. I'll let you say it.
So now there are two ways that we could talk about podcasts building your authority positioning. One is you are the host of the show or the talent, and the other is where you're on somebody else's show. How many shows, like, you guys are podcasting all the time here every week, but what about being on other people's shows? How many times a month are you on other people's shows being interviewed?
I haven't been asked.
But it's a great point. So get your own show or follow up and start researching other shows.
Yes, you need to be I think you should be on more shows, other people's shows, than you are doing of your own. That means a minimum of four interviews a month on other people's shows.
Gotcha.
Because if you don't, then how are you going to increase your reach? And you're getting in front of podcast listeners. Yeah. Who are the best consumers of podcasts? People who are already consuming other podcasts. How do you get in front of those people? By getting on other people's podcasts. So there are services like Interview Connections is one. Esther Kish has a service as well. Mm-hmm. So interviewconnections.com, you can sign up for, I think, as low as maybe a few $100 a month, and they'll guarantee to get you on like 4 or 8 different shows a month.
Wow.
Depending on what service level you're at, what price point. And they're great. Jessica is the founder of the company. She's awesome. They really deliver. And then, like I said, Esther Kish is another person who does that. A different price point, like more expensive, but she's more of kind of your personal PR professional. Mm-hmm. So, get on other people's podcasts. That's a powerful weapon. And then for your own podcasts, so I have 2 podcast shows, which is a lot of work. I think it's crucial that you set up your systems right at the beginning so that you you have scalability. Because if this becomes a time suck, by the time you really get traction with your podcast, which may be a year or even 18 months, you've gotten tired and you've given up. So all I do is I load up Skype, I hit record, and afterwards I drop the file into Dropbox and all done, right? Wash my hands of it. Mm-hmm. So my team does everything else. The episode art, the click to tweets, the social posts, the audio editing, show notes, transcript, it's all done without me touching any of it. So I use a service called Pro Podcasting Solutions. Daryl Darnell, awesome. I've had to go through a few different vendors before I found him, and really happy. I don't get any commission out of mentioning his name. He probably is going to get flooded with new business and get too busy to work with me. but whatever, I'm serving the community. So have a system in place so that this becomes scalable for you and doable. And then when you get your – so the main metric that everybody is paying attention to with podcasts is number of downloads, because that's the easiest thing to track. Subscriptions are way more important, and in fact, listens, and you can't tell this stuff actually from I use Libsyn as my hosting service for all my my podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I don't get visibility in anything other than downloads. I can't see how many subscribers I have on iTunes. I can't see how many people are listening to the episodes that they're downloading. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
So the best we do is just try and improve our download numbers, but it's looking at the wrong stuff. It's like talking about hits. Remember back in the day before Google Analytics, people were talking about hits, mm-hmm. and Remember this acronym? Maybe you never heard of this. HITS, How Idiots Track Success.
I've never heard of that acronym, but
I got so many more hits on my website. Well, you want more hits, just add a bunch more images, and that's a bunch more downloads to your page. It's not any more users, but you can say you got twice or 10 times as many hits. So the download numbers are not a great metric, but if you come into this with a powerful intention, like I want to get Elon Musk on my podcast, that's a powerful intention. So if you have a bigger outcome you're after than just I want to market my business or whatever, you'll get a better outcome from it. But having your own podcast show and positioning yourself as the authority. And this is where your show format comes into play, and you always have to be just so consistent. Always, always, always on the same day at the same time. Do not ever miss a week, and people will grow to expect that and appreciate you delivering massive value. And if the show format gives you the opportunity to present yourself as the expert and not just as a great interviewer, that's critically important. So there are shows where it's just two co-hosts riffing back and forth, doing case studies and stuff, like James Schramko and Taki Moore have Sales Marketing Profit, great podcast. They riff back and forth, and they never have the guest on who's talking about the case study. It's always them talking about the case study.
Yeah, I mean, really cool. We try to do that here, where we have, obviously we have guests on every week, but we try to give both sides of the coin so that way, I think our listeners really appreciate that.
Yeah, different perspectives bring value.
Yeah.
And when you interject with your own brilliant ideas, that helps establish your authority positioning. Mm-hmm. So you sharing that idea of, I want to get Elon Musk on my show, and here's the start of an idea of how we're going to do it. Let's brainstorm how to, finesse it.
Yeah.
It's genius, because a lot of people probably didn't even know you can target people on Facebook ads instead of just like do blanket boosting of posts and stuff. So very powerful. And then if as a way to build links, if you outreach to these guests after the interview's over with, of course, during, like right before the interview, you should be asking the guest to commit to sharing with their social media followers the episode.
Yeah.
So have them do it live, not after the fact via email, because that's easy for them to just ignore that. Have them either commit or not commit. They could say no, I don't really do that usually, but I appreciate you asking about it.
Yeah.
They say, oh, okay, well, you don't ask, you don't get. That's fine. I'm not gonna cancel our show or whatever. I mean, you're amazing, and we're gonna interview I'm gonna interview you. So, if you then also follow up afterwards, making sure that they have added it to their media page, just like you take your TV appearances and you put it on your media page. And radio show appearances and so forth. Every podcast episode where I am the guest on somebody else's show goes on my media page. And if they haven't done that as the guest, added your show, what? Like, hey, I made you the star, and now you really should feature that on your media page on your website. And of course, that'll be a link to your site.
And what's your thought on pre-producing content to help the guests distribute the message? Do you pre-write emails, pre-write tweets, pre-write content for them to distribute?
I do provide one tweet as a starting point, but I would not go over the top on that, because it seems like you're putting words in their mouth. I just want to make it seem like it's really easy for me. I mean, easy for the recipient to blast out a tweet without having to think too hard.
Gotcha.
So I provide just one tweet that I didn't use elsewhere. It's just handcrafted specifically from their voice for them to use. And then they could use that for Facebook. And I also provide episode art. So it's not just the show art, which just has me on it, but they're the feature. So they want to share that, hopefully, on Pinterest and Instagram and so forth, because they're the feature, and I had my team pull a quote from the episode that makes them look really smart and adds lots of value for the person reading that quote. And that gets added, kind of like the inspirational quotes you see all over on Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook, right? So you see some image and then you get some quote to go with it and makes you feel good, and then you just keep scrolling. So that's the sort of thing that would make it easy for them to say yes to. But the most important thing is the link. Yeah. And that's where they'll forget, gets lost, and that's when you have to follow up, make sure that it ended up on their media page or interviews page or whatever. And if not, you got to hound them a little bit.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, forgetting sometimes. Just so much going on. But I can vouch for this. I mean, just doing this podcast, we've gotten hundreds of articles written about the show and linking to the show and to the website. So, I mean, absolutely. I mean, it is a win-win.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And the doors that you can open by inviting people to be on your podcast, and when you can name drop some huge names, like I've gotten incredible guests just because I was able to name drop. Otherwise, they're asking, like, how many downloads a month do you get? And I hate that question. I refuse to answer it. I just want to tell them, like, this show is amazing, and I've had Byron Katie on.
And I'm like,
oh, my God, I read all of her books. Oh, my God, she's amazing. Yeah. Okay, I'm in. So you got to focus on getting that huge name first, and then everybody else will fall in line. They'll fall like dominoes. It'll be amazing.
If I get Elon Musk, I should be good.
Yeah, that'll pretty much cement the rest of the guest schedule for the year.
Right.
Yes, then Bill Gates will be lined up. Everybody else, yeah.
All right. So what would be your advice where to start? I mean, obviously with a podcast, it's not super expensive to set something like that up. Obviously, you got to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but if you're not a great speaker, then you shouldn't be doing this. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So you got to identify whether you are a speaker who writes or a writer who speaks. So a speaker who writes is somebody like me. I'm a speaker who writes. It's very easy for me to just jump on stage somewhere at a conference and just riff. I'm doing that at Internet Retailer. The session, I have no prepared presentation. I'm just going to wing it.
Wow.
By the very nature of it, that's how it's designed, because it's a live critique session. I'm going to have, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people in the audience. I don't know who is going to come up to the microphone and offer their website URL to be critiqued, but almost certainly none of those sites I will have ever visited before. And I have to, off the cuff, just riff about stuff they could do to massively increase their Google traffic. So you got to be quite a skilled SEO to be able to do that, but also you have to be great on stage, and it's just got to be part of your gift. Mm-hmm. Some people are terrified. A lot of people terrified to be on stage to do public speaking. Then you should not be doing a podcast. You should not be trying to get speaking gigs as a way to build your authority. You should write, like, blog, and then get article contributorships and columns and so forth, and use that as your vehicle if you enjoy writing. So if you're a speaker who writes, start there, and then everything that's painful and not in your gift, then you delegate that stuff. So I have a ghostwriter helping me to craft my articles for Search Engine Land. It's my content because I brainstorm and brain dump my ideas to the person who interviews me. The ghostwriter interviews me and is also skilled on SEO, so it's not like a mess when I see it for the first time, but I'm not staring at a blank screen. I hate that. It's so painful. I get writer's block. I'm like, no, this is just, I'd rather do anything. I'd rather watch Netflix, you know, and then you just, it's bad. So have a team and structure processes in place that will help you leverage you and stay in your gift. So the way I get stuff out of my head and into written form is through a ghostwriter who interviews me live over Skype instead of me talking to a recorder, because then I'm not in flow. It's a lot harder for me to speak to dead air, so I make sure somebody's on the other end. And then that gets recorded, and then that gets drafted. It works for me. So whatever your system is, first identify, am I a writer who speaks or a speaker who writes, and then set up those systems, because otherwise it's going to be super painful.
Yeah. Stefan, we got to take a break for our sponsor. Can you hold 1 second?
Find the true value of your home when you log on. HomeValue.com.
Search Talk Live is sponsored by the Robert Palmer family of companies. Check out robertpalmercompanies.com for more information.
All right. So let me ask you this, Stefan, because some people are natural speakers. They're born into it. At first, I used to get up on stage and I would just freeze. But through time, after doing it a few times, and then, you know, I came natural. And then speaking, like, I couldn't stand being in front of a camera, but it was just my own self-consciousness. But it got past that stuff. But
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely something you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started speaking, I was horrible. I was just atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
This was 20 years ago. So I got a lot of speaking gigs in to be able to master the craft. But at the beginning, it was I'm not going to use swear words, but it was quite a show.
Yeah.
So I decided it was the driver for me to keep going, because I was not okay with just being mediocre at it.
Nice.
And I get those speaker scores, and I'm like, wow, okay, I'm doubling down now. And every speaking opportunity I could get, I said yes to. I would do dozens and dozens of speaking engagements in a year, even when I was terrible. And I just knew that practice makes perfect, so I'm just going to keep hitting it. And I'm not a big fan of using like Toastmasters as a way to upskill.
Mm-hmm.
I much prefer to go to something like National Speakers Association meetings and conferences, because those are folks who are in the business of speaking, and it's their livelihood, so they got to be amazing at it.
Yeah.
This Learn is one of those places where getting a coach helps.
For sure, for sure. And I have multiple coaches. I also go to a lot of masterminds. It helps you with getting doors open. Like, you might end up meeting somebody who knows Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have dinner with him next week. So, yeah, masterminds, these can be expensive, though. Like, Joe Polish's Mastermind Genius Network is $25,000 a year.
And NSA is pricey.
Yeah, and NSA is pricey. Hey, here's one that I don't think anything can match this one. Tony Robbins Mastermind, which I was in for 3 years, about $130,000 a year.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
But Jay Abrams,
totally worth it.
Jay
totally
Abrams Mastermind is pretty up there, too.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about blogs, because we've kind of gone through TV.
Yeah.
We've gone through
publishing
and podcasting. Mm-hmm. But I think where most people are starting to establish themselves as authorities, or at least trying to, is in the blog space. But it's a lot of people doing that. Stefan, where do you see people go wrong in trying to create authority as a blog writer?
Yeah. So if you're starting with your own blog, good luck. Because you don't have a fan base.
Right.
Right. So read the article, 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly. And that's part of your goal here, is to get those rabid fans who will hit the streets asking for your book and all that from the bookstores. And having a blog that nobody's heard of before on a site that gets very little traffic is just, it's a recipe for nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a blog where they take a contributorship, like it's a group blog, and even better if it's listed in Google News, so it seems even more legit, and you're not trying to get guest posts. Guest posts, that terminology makes Google engineers cringe because that's purely for SEO. It's just a link building tactic. It's not great content. It's not great writing usually. It's just trying to get links.
Yeah.
So what I'd recommend is you're looking for a long-term contributorship or a column position, and you're going to look at things like their Moz rank and Moz trust or domain authority if you're using Open Site Explorer from Moz, or if you're using Majestic, you're going to look at trust flow and citation flow. And incidentally, these tools will give you this data for free. You don't have to be a paid subscriber. You can put in the website, the domain of that group blog and see how it fares in terms of its trust flow and citation flow in majestic.com or in Ahrefs. They have their metrics, like DR and so forth. You got Link Research Tools, which is another awesome tool set, pricey, but worth it. So, yeah, start with just getting some free data on these link metrics for where you're thinking of contributing to. Also, just check to see if there's a lot of buzz happening about those sites. So search for the name of the blog in quotes on Google and see how much it's mentioned. If it's kind of an unusual name, like Wisebread or something like that, that's a financial blog. You can find people talking about it but not linking to it, and you see media mentions of it and so forth. And, wow, that would be a great site to write for. And then get somebody to introduce you. Just like you don't just cold call an acquisitions editor of a book publisher, you don't do this with the editor of Inc. magazine. You got to get an introduction. So you still may not get in. Like, I got introduced to the editor at Inc. I didn't get accepted. It's like, okay. I'm not going to take it personally. You know how many times the author of the Harry Potter books got turned down?
Yeah, that's an amazing statistic.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's crazy. So it's just information. Don't take it personally. It's just information. Just like every time you don't get a yes from a prospect, it's fine. I'm not attached to that outcome of landing them as a client. I'm not attached to the outcome of writing for Inc. magazine. I could write for Entrepreneur. I could write for, I don't know, wherever.
Yeah.
Right. So even sites that will have some contributor form for you, like lifehack.org, they have a contributor form you can fill out. Business to community, business and then number two and community.com. It's super easy to pitch them. I've gotten in as a contributor to Lifehack just by not knowing anybody and filling out the contributor form. I had amazing credentials when I filled out the form and some ideas for great articles that they liked. So that worked, but it's so much better if you get an introduction, especially if it's a big magazine or something like Fortune or Forbes or mm-hmm. Inc. Yeah, big, big difference. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Also, I am a big fan of using conference speaking as a way to build your authority. And if you can get a gig speaking on a university campus, even if it's just to like an MBA class or something.
Yeah.
I've spoken at Stanford University. You better believe on StephenSpencer.com there is a Stanford University logo. Oh, yeah. As seen on Stanford University. So if you can find opportunities to just give value and useful information to an audience on campus, like when I spoke at Stanford, it was a tech talk, a tech briefing, and it was mostly staff. It wasn't professors. It wasn't students. It was mostly staff, and I was teaching them SEO.
And a lot of local universities have entrepreneurship type programs. Yeah. Like UCF here in Orlando has a giant entrepreneurship program. They've got a separate website on it, and they're always seeking experts and people to do webinars and programs and live events.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 And another powerful way to get social proof in as far as speaking, I mean, great to get something like Stanford or Harvard under your belt, but also TEDx. TED is an amazing brand. And if you can speak at a TEDx, you should be paying for your flights and hotel and whatever it costs, fly to Alaska or whatever, TEDx some tiny little town in Alaska. It's worth it as long as you're going to get video of it. Find out beforehand if they're going to video it. And even if they're not, which happens, hire a videographer and get that thing videoed so that you can use that. It's amazing to get the TEDx logo behind you while speaking. Very, very powerful. So do that. And there are so many places that you can find to speak at TEDx's. Just search on Google for call for speakers, in quotes, and then TEDx.
Gotcha.
You'll find dozens and dozens and dozens of TEDx sites that are asking for speaking pitches.
Nice. Well, we are out of time, Stefan.
Oh, no.
We just ran through that hour pretty quick.
Well, I've got something that's going to be awesome for your listeners to take it to the next level if they're interested.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So I have, first of all, the chapter on content marketing from the Art of SEO. So that's chapter 7. And I love this chapter. It's a great place to start if you're not super technical and you want to get lots of link building ideas and so forth. So you'll get that for free. I have an SEO myths white paper, which demystifies a lot of the crazy nonsense and mythology about SEO. Let's see, the SEO hiring blueprint, that's another one that will be really valuable if you're looking to bring on an SEO either as an employee or contractor or an agency. There's some things that will help you avoid all the riffraff and the snake oil, and that's in the hiring blueprint. And then finally, the SEO BS detector. So I'm censoring how the real name of it is spelled out, but the SEO BS detector is awesome. It's got trick questions that you work into the interview process, and it will cut through all the nonsense, and you'll find out if these people are posers or not. And you don't have to be an SEO expert. You just slip these into the interview. It's really cool. So all of that stuff, I created a page on my Marketing Speak website, marketingspeak.com/STL. And that's lowercase STL.
Nice. And we'll put that in Twitter, and we'll also put it in the on the page about the show.
On the show notes.
Show notes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been fantastic. A lot of great nuggets. I'm glad I told everybody ahead of time, hey, get your pen and paper.
We've increased our authority just on the show.
What's
that?
We've
increased our authority just on the show.
Yeah.
If you were texting in the ideas or tweeting them in or whatever while you're driving, that would be very bad. Don't do that.
Yes, don't try this at home. All right, thanks a lot. We'd love to have you on again. I mean, we've had you on, what, 3 times now?
Something like that. I can't even count how many. It's been so many.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll come back.
All right, awesome. Thanks a lot, man. All right, guys, another great episode of Search Talk Live. If you haven't yet gone to Spreaker, SPREAKER.com, and followed us there, because you get notifications every time the show goes live or a new episode comes up. And you can visit searchtalklive.com and sign up for our newsletter there. You also get more information there on different topics and things we try to cover. Did you have something you wanted to add?
No, just to remember that website. Don't forget it. Write it down. marketingspeak.com/STL. There's some great stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely. Want to thank everyone for your support. We have hit just about 7,000 followers on Spreaker now. What else? We're over almost 45,000 listeners, plays and downloads of the show. It's been great. I want to thank everybody for your listening to the show. I hope you've gotten something out of each and every episode. Let's see, there was something else I want to bring up
next week coming up, Jeremy Allen.
Oh, yes.
Digital Success. So we're going to talk about programmatic advertising, probably one of the biggest seismic shifts in online advertising.
Yeah. I definitely think it's the future in online advertising as far as paid goes. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. How much time we got? We got 30. Oh, I see it. He put it there. My bad. All right, guys. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Find the true value of your home when you log on. HomeValue.com.
Search Talk Live is sponsored by the Robert Palmer family of companies. Check out robertpalmercompanies.com for more information.